we can't miss like let Craig miss out on this gold.
I mean, that was gold.
Yeah, Woody and Butts and Woody Toy and Story. Butts.
Hell yeah, Toy Story Chronicles.
The Toy Story Chronicles today. Hey, it's episode 65 with the cold open. Tony, Ryan's here. Craig is here. It's Friday night. Feeling good.
We just wanted to start out with on the somber note. It looks like DeMar Hamlin's doing well, a lot better than he was 4 days ago. Yeah, he's off the ventilator. He's speaking. I don't know much more than that. Maybe Tony, you do. But
it's it's like there's a million people out there with that are pro football players or have been pro football players or are medical professionals that have like way more to say about this than we do. But I think like it's important that we like we bear witness to how violent this game that we love is to the players that we love to watch play.
We've profiled a lot of guys that have had horrible after careers because of this stuff, but we've never really seen the precedent like we saw Monday night.
And as you know, Ryan, and some people might not, like I was for about 2 years, I was a CPR first aid first responder instructor. And one of the people that I taught in my class ended up saving his dad's life with That's CPR. Right. And so one of the things that you learn when you teach CPR to tell people is like, hey guys, this is, if you can do it in shifts, you need to do it in shifts because you have to push so hard that it's exhausting. So the fact that they performed CPR for 9 minutes right. on the field is hero. Like that's hero shit.
Yeah. I feel like it would freak me out if I was doing it because don't you feel like you're going to break someone's chest? Like you're going to break their
ribs. If you do it right, you will most likely break some ribs. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know, beats the alternative, right?
Right. And I know there's like, you know, the sternum, we got, there's cartilage in there. There's a little bit of give, but still that's a big, massive bones. So you got to push through.
Yeah. And so that was really just, an amazing moment of personal and professional strength for those first responders. And so cool that it looks like, you know, DeMar's on his way to a recovery because like,
right.
We're used to being like, oh, you know what, like whatever, he'll be fine next week. And you're like, oh my God, this person died.
Yeah. We were all, you know, not hoping for the worst, but when you saw all those guys crying, you're like, something really bad's going on. And especially when they weren't moving him on the field and took multiple minutes before the ambulance even left to go to the hospital.
Right.
And that's just because you have to get him stable before you transport him. Right.
Right.
Something like that.
Right.
Especially like because for EMT.
Well, you don't know if it's something internal, you don't know what it is. So moving could exacerbate.
Sure.
So let's move on.
Yeah. I mean, we'd be irresponsible as NFL fans and NFL fantasy podcasters to not comment on it.
I fucking love this game, man. And I hope every week that everyone makes it through healthy. And I know that that's awful. And it's not awful, but it's impossible. It's never going to happen. But at the same time, I can still want for it to happen. So
sure.
Hopefully this is the last time anything like this ever happens. So let's move on. And let's talk about our 65s of the week. Ryan, sure.
I can go first. I can go first because I got a couple.
Okay.
Short one and a long one.
All right.
First off, we've got Damian Woody.
Oh, Woody.
Former offensive guard for the Patriots, the Jets, the Lions, went to Boston College, 17th overall in the 1999 NFL draft.
God damn.
He played every position of offensive line.
Wow.
Also won 2 Super Bowl rings with the Pats. He's from he went to school in Virginia High School.
Okay. East Coast guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, he's just another offensive guard who did a lot of great things, and I thought he deserved a mention because of his name as well, too. It was a pretty unique name.
Is he he's not a Hall of Famer, is he? I don't think he is.
I don't think so, no.
I feel like it's tough, man. Like, it's got to be so tough for a guard in the modern era to make it in because you're not a tackle. Running games are de-emphasized. And so I don't think we're going to see a ton of guards in the modern age make the Super Bowl. But guard is a tough position, man. It's still pretty important. Sure. So I got to tell you, the problem with my 65 this week is that it was based on a certain thing happening once, and that certain thing has happened twice. So unfortunately, my 65 is already irrelevant because at the start of the week, the number was at 64 and it's now gone up to 66, but we're still going to do 65.
What are you talking about?
All right. Now, the NFL, as of Monday or as of Tuesday, has broken the all-time single-season record for most quarterbacks to start at least one game in a season.
Really? I knew it would be a lot because there was a lot of quarterbacks that started.
Right. So the 2007 season was the record holder at 64. Now, this is for non-strike-shortened seasons.
Sure.
Because obviously in a strike-shortened season,
yeah, you're going to have a lot more scrubs playing, yeah.
Correct. So this year I had some of my favorite quarterbacks to start a game this year. Trace McSorley is a good one.
Yes.
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
John Warford.
Warford. Oh yeah, that was LA. Yeah, that's right.
Brock Purdy, of course.
Yeah.
Mark Rippon.
Yeah.
Or no, is it whatever, Mark Rippon's kid. Kyle Allen.
Okay.
Sam Ehlinger, who's back in town this Sunday.
I believe he is starting. That is correct.
Jared Stidham.
Yep.
And now we're going to have Skylar Thompson.
What about Peterman?
We're going to have Nathan Peterman. And now we're going to also have Sam Howell for Washington.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
so
right.
We're blowing past the record here. So I did have a list of some of my favorite quarterbacks that started a game in 2007.
Okay.
Here, I got some names for you, Ryan. Ready?
Yeah.
Charlie Fry.
I vaguely remember that name.
Brock Berlin.
Don't remember that one.
You'll remember this guy because he was a Big Ten guy. Brooks Bollinger.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
John Beck.
John Beck.
Quinn Gray. Brody Croyle.
That's a nice name.
A 44-year-old Vinny Testaverde.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he played really old. That's right. Yep.
And my personal favorite, last but not least, Cleo Lemon.
Cleo Lemon. I don't remember that.
Cleo Lemon. That's an all-time name right there.
That's pretty good.
So I thought this was important enough to be my 65 because it speaks to the nature of the league, right? So the pass-first nature of the way that football is played now has placed like a huge emphasis on protecting a QB because like if you have a bad quarterback, you're not going to be successful, right? So I wonder, Ryan, do you think the importance of the running quarterback has made it even more likely that backups will be needed?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Look at some of the quarterbacks that have all missed time this year that run the ball. You've got Lamar, Fields, Hurts, Kyler, Trey Lance, even quarterbacks that aren't runners but are more mobile, like Baker, Tannehill, Wentz, they've all been injured.
Yeah, true.
Like, I mean, it doesn't mean it hits everybody. Like, sure, Jared Goff's been healthy all year, but like Mac Jones doesn't run for shit and he's been hurt too.
That's very true.
So we always remember when a big time quarterback goes down. But we should also be thinking about, as fantasy football players, and talking about how much it changes an offense when even an average quarterback goes down. So, like, you know, we both in different leagues have Treylon Burks shares. So we know this in our souls.
Sure.
A bad backup quarterback sinks you. You know, ask anybody who was trying to get in the playoffs with DeAndre Hopkins. So let me tell you why I think that this is a one-year trend and we go back to a smaller number next year. I think the nature of the game is swinging back towards teams using their running game to protect their quarterbacks. So I thought about it, and I think you could say there's six elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Herbert, Hurts, Lamar.
Right.
Of those elite QB teams, Hurts and Lamar are on offenses that run at a higher rate over expected than pass.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean,
right.
Lamar's their whole scheme in Baltimore is to run the ball. You've got Lamar, you've got J.K. Dobbins, you got Gus Edwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Justin Fields, we watched this year him throw the ball 25 times a game.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts throwing 450 passes in a year while Justin Herbert throws 650 times a year.
Yeah.
Philly and San Francisco have been super successful as run first offenses. And I think that's going to push back towards using the running game to protect high profile, big money quarterbacks.
Yeah. And I think that's evident too with the amount of running back committees that we now see in the NFL. There's not a lot of Derrick Henry's anymore.
Right.
It's your 1-2-3 punch, you know.
Right. Scoring was down last year, and I think it will be this year as well as you compare it to trends over the last decade. And I think that's because NFL defenses have adjusted to the age of the quarterback by dropping into zone, deep zone shell coverages to stop the big play. And as I'm sure everybody listening knows, we now have the nickel defense as like the base package that most defenses roll out with. And when you're going against five defensive backs on first and 10 in a neutral game script, you run the ball.
Yeah.
So as we stand, Ryan, mere days before NFL history, I wanted to highlight my number 65, which is actually now up to like 66 or 67, the non-strike record for starting quarterbacks in a single season.
That's awesome stat.
That was a good one, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, so tell me about our last 65.
All right, so our last 65 for today. One of the 70 greatest players in Redskins history.
Oh, boy.
He's not in the Hall of Fame, but maybe could be. I don't know if he's can be voted for again.
Sure.
Mr. Dave Butts.
Woody and Butts.
Yep. Woody and Butts. Defensive tackle. Started with the St. Louis Cardinals, but played with the Redskins for most of his career.
Okay.
He had a 16-year career from 73 to 88, and he only missed 4 games.
Jesus.
Yep. 216 games played, 64 sacks, 2 interceptions. He's also like one of the bigger players I've ever seen in the NFL. He's 6'8 and fluctuated between like 290 and 325 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. Huge man.
That's big.
Right? He won 2 Super Bowls with the Redskins. As I said, he's not in the NFL Hall of Fame, but he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He played for Purdue. Another thing I liked about this guy, he was born in Alabama, but when he was young, he moved to Illinois. And guess what high school he went to? Maine South in Parkridge.
Oh, a Maine South kid. Okay. Yeah. So his family had money.
And, yeah. Well, there wasn't too much about what his parents did or anything. But
yeah, but
you would assume so.
Yeah, if for those of you that aren't in Illinois, if you live in Park Ridge, you got it, baby.
Yeah. 2-time high school All-American. He's the nephew of Earl Butts, a former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
But that sounds like such a like rich British kid insult. Like, oh, you're the Earl of Butts.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
He ranks 5th in Redskins franchise history in sacks.
Okay.
When he retired in 1989, he was the oldest starting player in the NFL. Not like Tom Brady, but I think he was like 39, 40 years old.
Yeah, but at 6'8", oh my God.
Right.
At defensive line, so you're getting hit on every play. It's not like,
you're not doing everything. Every game, he only missed 4 games in 16 years.
That's nuts. If you're 6'8", I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you're 6'8", dude, your knees have to be cutting at your knees constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, basketball players, that's why when you lose juice as a basketball player, it's because your knees go. Because you're that tall. And right. So I can't imagine this dude's knees are working very well.
Yeah.
Like now.
I don't know what I mean? Yeah. Well, I mean, he played through the era where you just took drugs and you didn't feel pain. But
I he's got to have like a Terminator lower half. It's got to be all metal at this point.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. And he actually just died recently. So he lived a pretty long life. He died in November last year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was 72. But one last thing about him, and this story is gonna make you laugh, cringe.
I'm ready.
So in October of 1987, Butts was in the hospital for some flu-like illness. It was bad enough where he felt he needed to go to the hospital. So he famously checked himself out of the hospital to play in a game versus the New York Giants.
Oh, my God.
Like I said, he was in the hospital for some flu-like illness. And he left the hospital despite from this illness dropping from 313 pounds to 287 pounds.
Oh, my God.
In the hospital.
Oh, my God.
He was just like, I'm going to leave the hospital because I want to go play this game.
Oh, my
God. Not only did he leave the hospital to go play the game, he made the game-saving sack on Ken O'Brien to stop the late Jets drive that would have won them the game. He then checked himself back into the hospital immediately after the game, where he stayed there till Wednesday.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
Yeah, he's a
Imagine,
baller.
Like, they would literally, like, not let you into the stadium in 2023.
They would not allow you to do that.
They wouldn't let you out of the fucking hospital.
Right.
But back then it's like, well, he said he wants to go. So
right.
I just let him go.
And this was in 87, like the latter, like 2 years of his playing career too. That's, like he wasn't even a young guy considered in the NFL that time. You know?
I mean, in all fairness, are you going to reject a guy that's like, still 6'8", 287, that's like, get out of my way. I need to go hit other men for 3 hours. Like, all right, dude.
Yeah. Can you imagine being the nurse at the reception desk and he just walks up? He's like, I'm leaving.
Like, oh, that's wild.
Okay. You're still running 104 fever and you just dropped 30 pounds, but okay.
Right. Yep. Have fun.
So all right. Mr. Dave Butts.
Dave Butts. That's a good one. And by the way, this is 2 weeks in a row where one of your guys has 2 one-syllable names.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So that's Woody and Butts. I thought it was funny.
Woody and Butts. That's great. All right. So we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back to do the second half of the show.
Do you love football? How much? Is your love a flaccid appendage hanging in the wind? Do you wish your love was a turgid, rock-hard pole of devotion? Hello, fellow penis havers. My name is Bill Shackelford, and I was once like you. Weak, bloodless, unable to get up for my partner, my team, and my fantasy draft. That is until I discovered Dog Drops by the TH Fantasy Health and Fitness Network. Ever since then, I can't keep my excitement hidden, and I'm the envy of my IBL competitors. For just 4 easy payments of $69.99, you will get an economy-sized pallet of Dog Drops. Just add 3 drops to your favorite game day beverage, and before you know it, it's like having Damian Pierce in your pants. You'll be getting yards after contact for 7 to 8 hours straight. I went from Hassan Haskins to Derrick Henry overnight, and you can too. No more lip questions about who to start or sit. You've always got the 101. Our revolutionary product combines exotic ingredients from around the globe, stirred into a giant vat and delivered to you in an untraceable, leak-proof package. It's also available at gas stations and shady corner stores across the nation for quick and convenient access. Are you worried that your partner is going to look at you and your RB1 and laugh? Take your sex life from the dead zone to the red zone with Dog Drops.
Dog Drops have not been approved by the FDA, and these claims are highly suspect. Do not take Dog Drops if you are pregnant, may become pregnant, or think Tua is actually a top-tier QB. Do not take Dog Drops if you live in certain climates closer to the Greenwich Royal Observatory or if you aren't planning on watching football. Please consult a doctor if it falls off, if your team just benched a starting quarterback, or if your Derrick Henry lasts for more than 8 hours. Consult with a fantasy expert before starting Dog Drops.
And we're back.
We're back, baby. We're back. We're back, and this is our last Superflex of the year.
Yeah.
I sure as hell don't think that we've won more than half the time, but I think we're pretty close. We should keep track next year.
Yeah.
How we do. Because I want to say we're about even.
I would think so.
So for the last time this year, Ryan, let's hop back into the Decisio bot. 420,000. Sure. Beep boop 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop. And we're back. Hang on, wait, let me try it like you. And we're back. So Ryan, why don't you tell us about the super flex we came up with?
All right, so got an interesting one this week. We're pairing Jalen Hurts with Devonta Smith. We're pairing Aaron Rodgers with Christian Watson.
Love it.
At tight end, we've got Tyler Conklin. I really like that one.
Conk.
At flex, we had to pay down a little bit, but this guy had 10 targets last week. Greg Dortch.
10 targets every time he steps on the field, baby.
Yeah. And then at running backs, we got some good ones. We got Najee Harris.
Ooh.
And we got Mr. McCaffrey.
Ooh.
This one feels spicy.
This one feels good, is what it feels like.
Right.
Let's end the year on a high note, man. You know, and next week, we might be able to, you know, there'll be enough teams playing next week that we can still do a super flex lineup. But I do believe this is the last 2022-23 season issue of
Ryan's mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
So this week,
I'm ready.
I'll talk a little bit about some of the guys that did really well last week that we've been talking about all year. But this week, for some reason, I really like Colby Parkinson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm calling Colby Parkinson for a touchdown. I think he's going to be a lot more involved in this game. Seattle needs a win to get into the playoffs. They're playing for a decent amount. So they're going to be slinging the ball. And did we ever think that Seattle would be in contention for the playoffs and the Bears would be in contention for the first pick this year? Oh my God.
We did make a preseason bet. I made it when we were doing our team write-ups for the year that Seattle was going to have the first overall pick this year. And I was wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, so Colby Parkinson last week did pretty well. 5 of 6 and a touchdown. Some notable guys who we've been talking about all year. Look at Trey McBride last week. He's going to be a really good NFL tight end.
He had like a 20-yard gain that was nullified by a penalty too.
Yeah. Yeah. Bellinger hit his over last week. Only 3 catches, but he got 42 yards.
My man.
That's right.
Love that Giants offense.
And Jelani Woods getting involved. He's going to also have a promising future. All three of those guys.
I agree.
But this week, Colby Parkinson is the mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
That is the definition of a mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week. That's awesome. All right, so do you want to hear my Jamal Agnew line? Because I got a...
What do you got?
Pop's got a brand new bag here. Let me reflect on last week. It wasn't exactly what I called. It wasn't great for fantasy purposes, but man, did you see that Jameson Williams run, that 40-yard run that he got on a sweep?
Yeah, that was sick.
Oh, so, you know, I hope that he continues on this trend because I have like three Jameson Williams shares in Dynasty. So, come on, baby. All right. Jamal Agnew is 5,000 on FanDuel this week.
Okay.
So, we've talked about how this Jamal Agnew game might have to change a little bit next year because I keep pulling crap. So, if we're going to end it this week, I'm going out with a bang. I'm going to circumvent the system here, and I'm going to totally redeem myself. My Jamal Agnew line play of the week is the $3,400 Atlanta Falcons defense.
Oh, my God, a defense?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, win, lose, or draw, have the fourth seed in the NFL playoffs, and they do not intend to play their starters as of right now. Why would they?
So you're saying Brady's going to have like three picks in the first half?
I don't think Brady's going to play.
He's going to want to play. He's at least going to play the first half, I think.
I don't think anybody's going to play on that team. If it doesn't matter if they win or lose, you might as well rest them. Brady's like 88 years old, man.
That's true.
So the Falcons' defense is ass, as you know.
Right.
But I believe if they're playing against backups, they will get their third double-digit score of the season and be a major contributor to anyone who takes down a large tournament in Week 18. $3,400, Atlanta Falcons.
Dare you say that they also score a touchdown?
I'm not going to put that out there, but I am going to tell you that they're probably going to get a lot of sacks.
I believe in your math, Tony, and I will put that out there. Atlanta Falcons will score a touchdown this week.
Okay. I mean, if fucking Blaine Gabbert is throwing passes, bro, it could happen. It's like the Vikings. Yeah, right. Nathan Peterman's playing, bro. Of course, there's a chance they could pick the ball off four times.
That's true.
It's not a Kadarius Toney week. It's not.
I don't think so.
It's not. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And that sucks. Kadarius Toney's so goddamn fun to watch. So that's episode 65. Next week we're we're almost two-thirds of the way to 100.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. Who would have thought when we first started this just to have some fun?
Yeah. Woody and Buzz, it's the new sequel to Toy Story.
Yeah, Disney's already canceled. It's been a fun season. I can't wait to look back and see what we did right and what we did wrong so we can refine our process, get a little better. Shane and I have been watching some prospect tape already. This quarterback class is going to be a lot of fun, Ryan.
I know you're saying that at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling this next year as the quarterback year.
Well, I think there's a chance there's going to be four quarterbacks picked in the first 15 picks.
Nice. Yeah. Well, and the Bears won't be one of them.
No, thank God. And yeah. Ryan, I made the list extra long of guys for you to look at and scout. I think there's like 12 tight ends on that list.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So enjoy it. And to anybody, if you're still playing fantasy this week, tell your commissioner to fuck off. No one should be playing the championship season. Like, but if you're a degenerate like us and you play DFS, like hopefully you cash well this week.
Yeah.
Your season was great. I hope that you won.
And as usual, freaking first 3 weeks went by, and you're like, "Yeah, it's football." And now it's already week 18, and we're already in the playoffs. Like, what? How does this football season go by so fast every freaking year?
I know, it's amazing, and It's been a wild ass ride, and I'm glad that we've enjoyed it together. I'm glad that our listeners have enjoyed it with us. And hopefully, if you just started listening recently, we'll put in a lot of research over the off season, and we give you pretty comprehensive insight on pretty much everything that's new for the teams as they go.
Yep.
So, thanks for enjoying the year with us, and we'll see you next week for episode 66.
Hell yeah.
So good night and good luck, and have a great weekend. Happy Sunday. Enjoy the last weekend of Red Zone.
Merry New Year, everyone.
Merry New Year.
That's a nice name.